Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to this edition. We would love to hear from you. If there's something going on in your life, if you have a particular Bible passage you can't quite understand, a great opportunity to call straight into the studio right now at 844-322-2742 and pose that question. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. This number, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're making the case for grace as we approach this Christmas season. And, you know, the Christmas season is all about Jesus, as the angels announced to the shepherds today in the city of David. A Savior has been born, and it's Christ the Lord, and he's the cause for great joy for all the people. Well, he is the grace of God incarnate, and he is the one that was full of grace and truth. And as a Savior, he came to save us from our sins. And we see a beautiful picture of this in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is a powerful statement, isn't it, Andrew?
It is. And, you know, this Christmas we're going to be opening gifts. That's the idea anyway. Somebody delivers a gift to your doorstep. They perhaps hand it to you face to face, but you are going to have to be a receiver this Christmas. As hard as that can be, sometimes we want to think, well, what did I get them last Christmas? Did I forget them? Oh, this looks too expensive. Oh, man, they shouldn't have done this. And, you know, we're hesitant sometimes to be receivers, but when you look at this incredible gift, the gift of God that is eternal life in Christ, you got to be a receiver, and you just got to wake up every day and say, thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that I am alive to you and connected and bonded to Jesus once for all, forever, for all time, as a free gift. And guys, this is the greatest gift that anybody could ever receive. So as we're unpacking those packages, unwrapping them, peering inside, I hope that'll be a visual reminder for us to really continue to peer into God's Word and see how great this gift is. The love of God poured out in our hearts, the presence of Christ himself in us, the gift of life. There's no greater gift.
None whatsoever. And really, when we talk about making the case for grace, this verse does make that case, because, you know, apart from Christ, all we're going to get are the wages of sin, and that is death. And the Bible even says that we are dead in trespasses and sin. So if it weren't for the grace of God and for this free gift, we're doomed eternally.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that people miss. You know, there's this idea out there, Andrew, that folks think of themselves as basically good people. And, you know, we make some mistakes. We do some wrong things here or there. And maybe we hurt a few people along the way. But basically, we're good folk. And we deserve to be in heaven because we're good folk. And this tells us a different story. And when we understand that story and realize that is the truth, that what we deserve is the wages of sin, which is death, then that gift of grace becomes even more precious to us, because we realize that's the only way. There is no other way for us to be saved other than God giving us the free gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, we're not bad people trying to be good. We're dead people in need of life. And the other thing I notice about this is sin is hard work. I mean, he's describing it as the wages of sin. Well, how do you get wages? You earn them through hard work. Well, here, if you're sinning and sinning, you're going to earn death. That's the wages. And you'll notice that sin is hard work, whereas the grace of God, this gift of life, is just lavished upon us. It's not something we work hard for. It's not something we earn. It is a free gift. But, you know, next time you think, oh, man, the world is out there living it up. They're partying. They've got the best thing going. But I'm stuck over here, you know, being a Christian. Well, you know, a healthy view on that is, wait a minute. No, God is good, and he has given me his very best. And he is preserving me, saving me from that sin and death that the world is experiencing. Sin will eat your lunch. Sin is hard work. Sin will never pay off. It'll never fulfill. And what we have in this beautiful gift of eternal life is the most fulfilling life on the planet. It's Jesus's life in us.
Absolutely. Guys, thank you for those thoughts as we get underway with this edition of Basic Gospel. And friends, we have plenty of open lines. We have a number for you at 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and Canada. We'd love to hear from you. If you would like to give us a call and pose your question, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. Well, of course, traditionally, Christmas is a time of giving. And friends, we hope that you'll focus some of your heart of giving on Basic Gospel at this particular time of year. We're looking at a year in need of about $210,000 to clear the year 2020. And at Christmas time, well, it is a great time to consider what Jesus has done for us and to make a generous gift to help Basic Gospel end the year and get into 2021 free to continue getting the message out to all who need to hear it. Please go online to basicgospel.net and click donate. Help us reach that $210,000 need. And when you make your Christmas gift to help this ministry, we want to send you a copy of Bob Christopher's latest CD series called Making the Case for Grace. It's a rich study through the heart of Romans. Again, please make your most generous Christmas time gift at basicgospel.net. We would love for you to partner with us. Again, basicgospel.net. And once again, that phone number, we have calls coming in, but still plenty of room, 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here again is Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines. We're going to start up in Kansas and talk with Tracy. Hi, Tracy. You're on the air.
Hi, Bob. How are you today?
We're doing fantastic. Great to hear from you, my friend.
Yeah, I told you I had a surprise. Well, it's actually a shock. I just said, wow, when I was shared. I questioned when Jesus said he's going to spend 3 days in the belly of the earth, like Jonah did in the whale. And then I get that great passage that says, well, this person he's going to be with in paradise. I mean, you can't get to both spots. You can't get to both spots. And I believe I was shared he did do both. My faith is basically accepting he did both. I believe with all my heart he did. I was shown this. God, this is unbelievable. I'm still just in shock. He showed me something that I don't know if anybody's ever thought of. The cross, him and the thief were both on the cross. Jesus dies first. And so we all know when Jesus died and gave up his life that the old covenant ended. The new covenant is now in effect because his redemption of blood did all these things. Did everyone ever come to think of the poor thief on the cross is not dead yet, and that now he's no longer under the old covenant? He's under the new covenant, even though he's still alive. He comes to die. Okay, now he's in paradise with Jesus as soon as he dies that very day. And people say, well, did Jesus go to the belly of the earth? I'm accepting that as truth. I'm not going to sit here and try to throw 50 billion questions at people. I mean, you can read a little bit in you know, Matthew, where it says, you know, the walk split, the bodies of many godly men and women died. They were raised from the dead. So you could go in and say, well, yeah, Jesus went down and raised them all. I mean, they all waited at the cemetery till he came back or resurrected. Then they all went into the city of Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So whether they all appeared with him or not, I'm not going to take that context. I'll just leave it that, hey, Jesus said this. I believe him. I take it at face value. My faith is in him that he always tells the truth, never lies. He did all these things. It was just beautiful that he showed me what was going on, and I love it. And I just hope that people will come to understand that's what we need is faith in him, not devouring each other, I guess would be a good way to say it, of who's wrong, who's right, this is right, no, this is right, no, this is wrong. And I just wanted to get your guys' opinions. Is that what the world really needs more of is belief and not bickering and fighting, I believe.
Well, I think you're exactly right there, Tracy. We need to... I think follow Jesus' example, and here's what I mean by that. In Peter's letter, he talked about Jesus when he was reviled and evil was put upon him. He didn't try to retaliate. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. And that's what he's called us to, is that entrusting ourselves to him just as he entrusted himself to the Father. And that's this newness of life that we've been raised to walk in. So it's a by grace through faith reality from start to finish, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and, you know, there's been a lot of debate about some of the details of what you shared. I mean, you know, you go to, speaking of Peter, you go to 1 Peter 3 and you see Jesus is suffering for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit. And then it says he proclaimed his spirits in prison because they didn't obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So there's a lot of different viewpoints on this. I mean, I think that you've stressed the most important thing we need to know. Today you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't say, today, hang on, I got to go spend 3 days in hell and I'll be back to see you later. I mean, even in John 17, which I taught on yesterday or a couple days back, he says that I'm coming to you, Father. I mean, I'm coming straight to you. He doesn't say I've got to go elsewhere and then I'll be with you. So we got two different indications right there from the lips of Jesus himself that he goes to be in this place called paradise with the Father, and there's no delay, there's no circling of heaven's airport, there's no sitting in a waiting room, neither for him nor the thief. And it's true that, you know, there's people that are in punishment right now, and they had an opportunity. I mean, Christ was speaking to them thousands of years ago through the prophets and through the Holy Spirit, and they rejected him. And that's why today, I mean, we're talking about this gift, guys. The most important decision any human being can make is today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart and respond to the gospel and receive this free gift. And then at the moment of your physical death, you don't have to worry. You're not going to be in some dark holding tank. You're not going to be waiting days, weeks, months, or millennium or anything. I mean, you're going to be absent from the body, present with him. That's real salvation. Body, soul, and spirit, that's the kind of salvation that Jesus gives us.
Well, Tracy, thank you so much for your call, and just love your heart for the Lord. Love your desire to grow in grace and grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, and just really seeing what this life of faith is all about. So we appreciate your call. Thank you for your encouragement, and have a very Merry Christmas, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Thanks, Tracy.
Yes, yes. Well, let's go to our YouTube channel, and Martha has this question for us, Andrew. She's wondering what our take is on 1 Corinthians 14, specifically is speaking in tongues is the gift of tongues still in use today, or did that stop many, many years ago?
Well, I don't think that we have a reason to believe that it stopped. The question is, what is it and how might God use it? I mean, you know, there's going to be a day when everything ceases, all these gifts cease. There'll be faith, hope, and love. These will remain, and the greatest of these is love. I mean, sure, if we fast forward thousands of years into a beautiful future with Christ, we're not going to need all these different spiritual gifts. But if you want to see what an accurate view of the gift of tongues is, I mean, Acts chapter 2 spells it out. They each heard the gospel. They each heard the excellencies of God. They each heard this beautiful message in their own tongue to which they were born. So it's a missionary gift, if you will. It's an evangelistic tool, this gift of tongues. And in Acts 2, we see the content of those messages in tongues. And it was the basics of the gospel. I mean, you talk about basic gospel, that's what they were proclaiming 2,000 years ago in Acts 2. And then as far as 1 Corinthians 14, guys, I know that some people have argued for two kinds of tongues. You know, there's the kind I just described, the missionary gift, and then there's another kind, a private prayer language. Well, I don't think that's what 1 Corinthians 14 is saying at all. Let me try to be as clear as I can here. I mean, this chapter, every verse in this chapter is about a church service going on. I mean, that's the context. It's about getting together in a church service as one body. And so he is talking about prophesying in the church service and speaking tongues in the church service and women in the church service and on it goes. I mean, this entire section, he is saying, look, don't bring your missionary gift off the street and bring it into a church service and then just start spouting off in human languages. I mean, imagine if I come to your church service on Sunday morning and I sit on the front row and I just start spouting off in Swahili and Russian and Chinese and German, and there are no speakers of those languages in your congregation. Well, then I'm just going to be speaking mysteries. I'm going to be speaking into the air. I'm going to just have God understanding me, and that's it. Nobody else can say amen, and I sound like a barbarian. A visitor comes in, they don't have a clue what I'm saying, and they think these people are crazy. Well, Paul spells all this out. You know, will they not think you're crazy? Will they not think you're mad? Why are you speaking just with your spirit in these foreign languages? Speak with your spirit and your mind. Speak with your, sing with your spirit and your mind. So, you know, he's looking for clarity, guys. And I would say this is not a new concept. When we get together for a church service, let's have clarity. Let's have intelligibility. Let's understand each other. Let's benefit from each other. Let's edify one another, build each other up. And if someone who had this gift of tongues came off the street, it was supposed to be a sign to the unbeliever, Paul says, and they start abusing it in a church service, well, you're going to have chaos ensue and nobody's going to benefit.
Yes, indeed. Well, Martha, we hope that's a big encouragement to you and hope that answered your question. And thank you so much for viewing us on YouTube today.
Yes.
Well, let's keep it going. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas, and talk with Kyle. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good. Well. Nice to hear from you.
Merry Christmas to you guys. Listen, I wanted to see if you could enunciate a little bit, expound a little bit on 1 Peter 3:21. Personally, I grew up in a baptism-centric denomination, non-denomination, church, and, you know, have since come to learn, you know, about grace and the impact that has on salvation, how that's really where our salvation comes from. But all of the, everything that I grew up with, everything I learned and focused on from my youth and up through, you know, young adulthood has really kind of hung in there. And this is one of the scriptures that really, as much as I study and as much as I've learned and I've accepted, that really is different than what I learned growing up, this one verse really kind of hangs me up a little bit. And I'm wondering if you could just expound upon it as it relates to the salvation part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we can, Kyle. I think we can be a big help to you. He's using baptism to correlate with what now saves us, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about here. So we often get hung up on, oh, I need to be water baptized to be saved, but he's just saying, no, the plan of God is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we're plunged into that by grace through faith, that's when salvation comes to us. So he's just making a correlation to point us to the real message, the real story, and that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that makes it simple, doesn't it? Doesn't it, Andrew?
Yeah. You know, I would say you can think of it this way. We start out baptized into Adam. I mean, we're immersed in Adam. We're placed in Adam. We show up on this planet. We can't help it. Everybody's in Adam. And then God does this radical surgery on us at salvation. He hoists us out of Adam and then puts us in Christ. So that's why it's baptism in Christ that saves us, not baptism in water. In fact, Peter says this in verse 21. He says, hey, I'm not talking about water washing dirt off of your body. That's why he says not the removal of dirt from the flesh. He doesn't want anybody to get the wrong idea. This is not about water that you go down into and come out a saved person. There's nothing magical about H2O that saves you. What really saves a person is this. I appeal to God and I say to him, and this is coming straight out of the verse. I appeal to God. I say, I want a good conscience through the resurrection of Christ. And so that's what saves me. I get born again. I become a child of the resurrection. And that righteousness that he gives me is cause for a good conscience, maybe even a great conscience. So thanks for your call. It's a great question and a powerful verse, really.
Yes, indeed.
Is it safe to say that in what you're describing, that the water baptism is actually kind of a type or maybe a shadow of the actual saving baptism we get through faith then? It's kind of a physical manifestation of the spiritual
Exactly. I mean, we're not saved by the Lord's Supper either. So I would put baptism and the Lord's Supper together. I mean, you know, and people have misinterpreted that. There are folks who think that the Lord's Supper is magical in that it makes you right with God again and again and again. So you can see how we humans, we are tempted to look at the visible and the physical as proof or as a means of salvation. But I think you're absolutely correct that it's like a birthday party. I mean, we go to a birthday party in our own honor to celebrate our birth, but it doesn't make us born. We're celebrating our birth. It already took place. You have a wedding anniversary. It doesn't make you married. You're celebrating that you're already married. Well, at salvation, you got married to Christ, so to speak. We become one spirit with the Lord. So this water baptism is the best party you could ever throw, and truly it is a symbol, a shadow, a picture of that spiritual reality.
Fantastic. That clarifies it very well for me. I appreciate you guys very much.
And thank you.
God bless you guys' ministry, and you guys have a great Merry Christmas, okay?
Well, you do as well, Kyle. Merry Christmas to you. Andrew, we have this quick question from Gary, who's watching us on YouTube. If you're saved, can you die in your sins?
No, you can't die in your sins because Jesus rose from the dead. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, because Jesus has risen from the dead, that's the cause for you to no longer be dead in your sins. Instead, you're alive in his righteousness. So if from now until death you sin 100 times or 1,000 times or 1,000,000 times, guess what? Jesus Christ hung on that cross once to take away your sins for all time. You go to heaven a forgiven person then and right now.
Gary, thanks for watching, and hope that was a big help. Bob, take it away for us.
Well, we love hearing from you, our listeners, and Andrew, we love having you on the broadcast with us every week. Thank you for your input. I know the listeners benefit from what you have to share, as they do with Bob Christopher, and so we love having you, brother.
Thank you, friends,
thank you for being with us today, and thanks again to all of you who support Basic Gospel each month. Please keep in mind that the end of 2020 is coming up soon, and we need your help, your support, to reach a need of $210,000 by the 31st. Your most generous Christmas time gift will help Basic Gospel move into 2021 clearly focused on the love and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you make your gift in December, we're going to send you a brand new CD series by Bob Christopher called Making the Case for Grace. It's a grace-filled walk through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8. And we want to send it to you as our thanks for supporting Basic Gospel in the month of December, and always for that matter. So please make your most generous Christmas time gift at BasicGospel.net and request your copy of Making the Case for Grace. I want to remind you that we stream live video to both Facebook and YouTube every day. You'll find live links at the top of the homepage at BasicGospel.net. We would love for you to join that growing group who view us in the studio every day. Now, between now and our next broadcast, if you have Bible questions or if you're struggling with the issues of life, we invite you to call 844-322-2742 and tell us about it. We'll discuss it on Basic Gospel, and hopefully that will be a help to you. Again, in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, and with thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us today, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.